The name Ecclesiastes indicates or means preacher, or some would say philosopher. And it is in this book which we read the philosophy of Solomon as his mind was in conflict over the problems of life. As Solomon contemplated life and as he considered all that he had seen in his life, he gave to us in this book of Ecclesiastes a summary of life without God, of life without the reality of God's purposes being present. And one word seems to really summarize Solomon's analysis of living life without a heavenly purpose. And that one word is found in chapter 1 and verse number 2 as Solomon opens up the entire book of the Bible with these words in verse 2. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. In fact, 37 times in this one book, Solomon uses the word vanity. And so to summarize his opinion, to summarize his experience of viewing life without God and without God's purpose, Solomon simply refers to it as vanity. Now, the word vanity means empty. And this book shows to us that the world and the things of this world cannot satisfy the heart of a man. The things of this world, the experiences of this world, the possessions of this world, the attainments of this world cannot satisfy the heart of a man. Now, many people will return to work tomorrow and they'll get back at the work site and like most of us, their stomachs will be full and maybe a few extra things in the closet, maybe a few different clothing apparel items to wear, maybe a few tools, maybe a few other types of things that they've been given at the Christmas season. And yet I'm quite confident in the statement that I'm about to make. The overwhelming emotion to be experienced by most Americans tomorrow morning as they go back to work is the emotion of emptiness. It is the feeling of emptiness. Because for those who were looking so forward to the parties and the food and the material possessions, apart from celebrating Christ and what this season has been all about, there's only one sum total of an emotion that can be experienced, and that is basic emptiness. Because after the food is all eaten, and after the gifts are all open, and after the traveling is all done, and you're back to work without a reason for living, and without a person to live for, then it's basically an empty life, so Solomon tells us. Vanity of vanities. Without a right relationship with God, all is vanity. And we see that is given as the synopsis of this particular book of the Bible. Dr. J. Vernon McGee was a great radio Bible teacher, and every year Dr. McGee would host a radio Bible conference in the Hawaiian Islands, and they would rent out a large hotel, and many Christians would join there, and for 1 week he would teach the Word of God, and people would grow in their Christian lives. And J. Vernon McGee, in his commentary on the book of Ecclesiastes, stated that every year as they would be in the lobbies of the hotels and just in the break times and so forth, he had the opportunity to watch the two different crowds that had assembled there. He said there was the crowd that had assembled there for the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And then there was the crowd that was just sort of the jet set crowd that was just there because it was another place to go and another thing to do. And he said he would listen to the conversations of those without Christ, and he would listen to the conversations of those with Christ in their life. And the one observation that J. Vernon McGee made of the two crowds is that the crowd without Christ had really no purpose, no aim in life. Though they had so much, though they had been to so many places, there was an emptiness in their life without God and without a purpose for living in life for God. Now, I submit to you this morning that our new year will either be a year of vanity and emptiness, or it will be a year of purpose, growth, and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that you and I need to decide this morning where we're going in this new year. Will it be based upon things that are basically vanity? Will it be based upon things that are empty? You see, if our goal is simply to have a promotion, if our goal is simply to build the company, if our goal is simply to attain something materially without using those material things or those promotions to glorify Christ, then it's going to be all vanity when this life and when this year is over. And we need to recognize the importance this morning of living our lives with God's purposes in mind. If we want a year of spiritual purpose, then there are a few vital lessons this morning I want you to see with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 as the preacher Solomon gives to us an analysis of life without God being very empty. But then in the last chapter, he gives to us a way that our life can be full, a way that there can be great purpose in our life. Notice, first of all, in verse number 1, the preacher says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Now, those of you that are what we call around here this morning teenagers, you just bear with me for a minute, and you let me speak to the younger generation for just a moment. And I want to say to the teenagers and to the young couples this morning, to those that are middle career or earlier, may I say to you, where is this idea from that says, live for yourself while you're young, and living for God and praying and reading the Bible is what older people do? I want to tell you something, that's the lie of the devil. And there's not an older Christian in this room who wouldn't challenge you to give the years of zest, to give the years of health and vitality to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be sure, give all of your days to Christ. But especially the Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And I believe if we're going to have the right kind of a new year, we need to remember our Creator. The man or the woman who is filled with vanity is the man or a woman who has forgotten that we're God's creation, that we have been created with His purposes in mind. Now, many people today want to deny the fact that there is a Creator, that we owe anything to God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." The Bible says there came a time in the first Gentile empire when men did not even like to retain God in their knowledge. You know, is it amazing to you to watch our society as they want so much to have some semblance of joy in the Christmas season, but they're trying so hard to keep Christ out of the picture? And we see people today, I don't know how many people said to me when I was doing my shopping Thursday night, I don't know how many people said to me, "Happy holidays." You know why? Many corporate policies do not allow the use of the word Christmas. They don't want that word Christ to be offensive. And whenever anyone said happy holidays to me, I just turned up the volume and said, "And Merry Christmas to you." Because we live in a society that wants to take away the usage of the word Christ. People today are so caught up in being politically correct that they want to appease a 2% over here and a 1% over here and a happy Kwanzaa and a happy this and a happy that. But wait a minute, we need to recognize today the fact that we are created beings and that we have been created by God and that we are here to worship His Son, Jesus Christ. And there was a day when our country was not afraid to put right on the money, "One nation under God." And the God of which they were speaking was the God of this Bible from which I preached this morning. So I submit to you today, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And in the midst of a people who are not wanting to retain God in their knowledge, in the midst of a nation that's so caught up in being politically correct that they don't even want to use the word Christ or God or a salute a flag or place the Ten Commandments in some public place, you and I had better, as Christians today, say, once this new year begins and as we enter this new week, we're going to retain the knowledge of God in our hearts and minds. We're going to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Now, we as His people should remember Him each and every day. We should remember Him each day. And the Bible says in Psalm 63 and verse 1, "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee." And I want to encourage you as you make your goals for this new year, I want to encourage you to write out some goals that pertain to having daily time with God in His Word. The psalmist said, "Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee." I want to encourage every adult member, every teen member of this church to have a time where you meet with God each and every day, where you meet with God in the morning or perhaps in the evening, and where you open up His Word and where you read it and where you look for some truth to help you and your family. And you see, so many Christians today think that coming and getting a spoonful on Sunday mornings is going to get them through their entire week. But my friend, a mature believer comes to the Word of God each and every day. And he looks for the truth of the Word of God, and he seeks God each and every day. He remembers his Creator in his life. I think about this coming Thursday night, and I'm excited about Thursday night. Thursday night is our vision night service, and we share the whole vision for the new year and what new ministries are starting, and we're sharing floor plans of the new building and talking about new classes and giving out Bible reading schedules and a beautiful gift to each person in attendance and passing out all different types of devotional guides. And what's it all about, really? You know what Thursday night is all about? It's kind of a planning session for the members of Lancaster Baptist Church. We're trying to plan for our personal lives and for our church life, and we're planning to have a year that has Christ at the center, that has God's Word at the center. And I was thinking yesterday, perhaps if we had some kind of an accountability system in each class where someone could check off that they had their devotions every day. I mean, just any idea that we can come up with to encourage God's people to be faithful in God's Word. But you know, we need to remember our Creator in this new year. We need to say, Lord, I'm going to think of you and walk with you each and every day in Bible study and in prayer, praying without ceasing. You know the exciting thing about a new year? Here's the exciting thing, is that we have not missed Bible reading one time yet. Some of you aren't encouraged about that. You've not missed church one time. The new year offers a clean slate, doesn't it? And you see, remember Him each day. May I say to you, remember Him all of your days. Remember Him all of your days. Now, in your youth, yes, give Him your heart and your life. But in addition to that, in your old age and throughout your life, give Him your heart. Remember Him all of your days. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. It says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few. Now, here the Bible says there's coming a day in the life of a person when they're not able to have the zest that they once had. And some of the terms that are used are interesting. The term here, keepers of the house, means the arms and the hands. The Bible says there's coming a day when the arms and the hands are going to tremble. The Bible speaks here of the strong man. That's speaking of the legs and the thighs. The preacher says, Solomon says, when I look at life and when I realize the coming days, he says, there's coming a day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men, the legs and the thighs are not as strong as they used to be. He speaks in verse number 3 of the grinders ceasing because they are few. And I think most of you know what he's talking about there. He's talking about the teeth. He's saying there's coming a day when the teeth are going to be fewer in number. I remember years ago being out on the farm in Colorado. My brother and I were out there working for a few weeks, and we were staying in one of the bedrooms upstairs, and normally we stayed downstairs, but this time my grandmother made a room for us upstairs, and we were having a great time. Beautiful, beautiful farm, and apple trees right outside the window. My brother and I were so excited to be there, we could not go to sleep. And I guess it was about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, just a youngster. I got up out of bed and I went into the restroom. And as I went in there, I turned on the light. And one of the scariest things I've ever seen in all my life was right there next to the sink, seated there. I saw it. I jumped. I ran back into the room. I said, Mark, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe it. Somebody's teeth are in that bathroom in there. I didn't know if it was, you know, a ghost or what it was. Mark and I snuck back around and we looked in there, and sure enough, there was someone's teeth. And later that next day, my granddad had to explain the whole thing to us. Man, we thought that was the greatest thing. He put them in and took them out for us. Well, that's what verse number 3 is about. See, you didn't know all the fascinating truth that was in God's Word, did you? Their grinders cease because they are few. The Bible speaks about windows dimming. That's the eyesight fading. And the Bible speaks about, in verse number 4, the doors that shut in the streets. And this is speaking about the ears that no longer hear as well. And the daughters of music being low, speaking of the vocal cords. And there's reference here to being afraid of heights in verse number 5. And there's reference to desire failing. And then finally in verse number 6, there's a summation of that portion, and it says, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Now the silver cord being loosed, I believe to be a reference to that day when the spirit and body are separated. In other words, God says, remember the Lord of the days of your youth. While you have health and while you have vitality, young people, young adults, young families, don't give it to drugs. Don't give it to rock and roll crowd. Don't give it to the party crowd. Don't give it to the world. Give it to Jesus Christ. Don't think that serving God is something just for old people and something you'll do later, but give God your very best of your life. I think of the words in verse 6, the silver cord being loosed. And some of you will recall the words of a song by Fanny Crosby that were written many years ago. She said, someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. What was Fanny Crosby talking about when she said, someday the silver cord will break? She was saying, someday the spirit and the body will be separated one from another. And she said, then I will see my Savior face to face. Thank God this morning for Christians who purposely live for Christ all of their days, who serve God in their youth, and who serve God until that silver cord breaks. And I want to encourage you, whether you're a young person or whether you're a teenager this morning, to give every day of the new year in remembrance of your Creator, and to wake up in the morning thinking about Jesus and talking to Jesus and living for Jesus in the new year. And thank God for the challenge. Remember our Creator. Remember Him each and every day. Remember Him all the days of your life. And then thirdly, remember Him in our priorities. Remember Him in our priorities. Now, I believe this morning that every one of us need to place the Lord at the top of the priority list for the new year. Every one of us need to put our relationship with God. You say, well, I want to have a better family life. I want to do better with my children. I want to do better with my spouse. Then if you want that, put God at the top of your priority list this year. I'm saying this morning that while work and while all of these things are important, we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You may build the greatest business, but if you lose your testimony and you lose your family this year, then you've not built the most important thing in the eyes of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and have the right priorities. Notice the Bible says in verse 8, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Notice verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads and the nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. Now here we see as Solomon the preacher considers life and considers the matters of life. He says in verse number 8, the things of this world are vanity. So for someone to have their New Year's goals strictly based on the things of this world, God says that's vanity. God says there's an emptiness to that. It's going nowhere and it's going there fast. And you and I need to say as we think of the new year, and gentlemen, would you be honest about it? And ladies, just to think for a moment, what do you want to accomplish in the new year? So many people just kind of haphazardly let it happen. Friend, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now, what do we want to accomplish? And the Bible says in verse number 8 that much of the goals of this world are vanity. And many of the words of this world are vanity. And many of the books of this world, verse 12, are as vanity. The making of books, there is no end. You see, what is Solomon saying? He is in essence saying, if our goals are to attain the things of this world without the remembrance of God, then our life will be an empty life. If our goal is to read every top-selling book with the forgetfulness of the Word of God, then we will live a very empty life in the new year. And we need to place God and His Word at the top of our priority list. And so the Bible says, remember your Creator. Remember your Creator each and every day. All of your days. And remember to put Him at the top of your priority list. Don't put the Bible at the bottom of the stack. Don't put time with God at the bottom of your day timer. But put it the very first thing there, that you might seek first the kingdom of God. Remember our Creator. But then secondly, the Bible says that we are to recognize our duty. Now, as we enter this new year, first of all, we need to remember who our Creator is. We need to walk with Him every day. But secondly, we need to recognize our duty. Notice what the Bible says now in verse number 13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now that's a great verse. Solomon says, all right, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Sometimes people say, oh, you know, you can't understand the Bible and it's so hard to understand. Aren't you glad that God really does simplify it so that we can understand? He says, all right, Solomon says, I'm going to bring this book right down to a conclusion. I'm going to put it right down on the lower shelf here now so that you can understand. What's the conclusion? What's this all about? He says, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. And here's the duty of every believer. First of all, he says, fear God. Fear God. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter, he says. Fear God and keep His commandments. If you, friend, my friend, do not have a proper perspective for who you are and who God is, your 1999 will be a waste. See, if you're going to only do good because Brother Furso is going to keep you going for a while, then you won't go very long, or your wife or your husband keeps you going for a while. Listen, you and I need to get a right relationship with God this morning and recognize this Christian life is all about me and God and my having Him in His proper place and me in my proper place. And the Bible says, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. You want to live a life that is void of wickedness and wrong in this year? You want to live a life that has right and righteousness present in this year? Then he says, first of all, fear God. Now the Bible says in Psalm 112 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments. Blessed is the man. That word blessed means happy. Now sometimes we think about fearing God and we envision someone going through life like, oh, God's going to hit me over the head with a billy club. Well, why is it that the psalmist would say, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. The word blessed means happy. So someone who's living with the fear or reverence or awe of God is not afraid, is not someone who's not enjoying life. You see, that's why the unsaved crowd doesn't understand what it means to be a Christian. There is great joy in walking in the fear of God or the reverence or awe of God. So if we're going to get this year in its right perspective, we need to get God in His right perspective. Now, the fear of God is the work of the Spirit in the heart of the saved man. The fear of God is the work of the Spirit in the heart of the saved man. It's the still small voice of the Holy Spirit reminding us and prompting us along the way. Now I want you to think about that with me this morning. Having God's Spirit keep me going in the right direction, it is an inner principle of awe, of reverence. Yes, some commentators describe it as a holy terror or awe that produces an outward manifestation. It's an inner working of the Holy Spirit, this concept of the fear or reverence of God. It's something that God puts there and that you and I need to be aware of and listen to as we put God in its right perspective. Listen to me this morning. If you stop reading your Bible, if you stop the good godly habits that you've gained in your experience as a Christian and in your time at Lancaster Baptist Church, if you walk out on God and you walk out on your family and you fail to do the things that you know God would have you to do, you can blame your wife, your husband, your church. You can blame anyone that you want to blame. But my friend, the fact of the matter is that somewhere in your heart, you stopped respecting God like you once did. Say, well, it's because someone disappointed me. Friend, you can say that all day long, but you still have a God that is your creator to whom you are responsible personally. The Bible says, fear God, reverence God, give Him the honor that is due unto Him. And if we do not fear or reverence God, we will not keep His commandments. That's why we try to teach our children at a very young age to respect God. That's why we begin teaching them about God as the creator and God is holy. We teach them the attributes of God, the love of God. We bring them to church. We don't say to them, all right, kids, just put on your holiest dirty blue jeans you've got and put on a t-shirt with profane words on it and let's go to church. I don't think any of you said that to your kids this morning. Normally we say, come on, kids, brush your teeth. You got to do it at least once a week on Sunday mornings. Normally we get them to brush their teeth and we wash their face and we spiff them up just a little bit. They may or may not have a tie on or something. That's not the thing. The point is, when we bring them to church, we spiff them up just a little bit. Why? Because we're going where, folks? Going to church. We're going to God's house, sometimes we say. What are we trying to teach those children at an early age? We're trying to teach them to respect God, see? See, so many times we want to blame shift over on some person when in fact the problem is we're not reverencing God like we should. Friend, you're going to be disappointed by lots of people in the new year, but what you need to do this morning is get the focus on God and have an awe for God and a respect for God and a love for God and a reverence for God that keeps you going in the new year, that keeps your perspective right. Sometimes as parents, we try so hard to get our kids to have this right awe of God. And I understand this principle. I want my kids to respect God, don't you, who are parents? Don't you want them to respect God? I heard of a little boy who was riding along with his dad, and his dad had been trying to teach him some things and help him to get going along in the right direction. And his little boy in the back seat, he said, Dad, how do you spell God? Man, his dad got so excited. He said, my son's in the back seat thinking about God. He said, son, you spell God G-O-D. And so a little while of silence went by. And after a while, he said, Dad, how do you spell Zilla? His dad thought about it. He wasn't spelling God. He was spelling Godzilla. And sometimes when we think our kids are just about right there, they're not as far as we thought they were. But we try to teach them to fear God, don't we? We try to teach them to have an awe for God. Now, guys, read the word with me this morning. What does it say, ladies and gentlemen? It says here, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, verse 13. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. So first of all, we put God in His proper place. Then we keep His commandments. Now, we'll not go through all the commandments of the Word of God, but I want to share with you the greatest single commandment of God's Word. The greatest single commandment is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. 1 John 3:23 says this, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there are many commandments in the Bible, but until we obey that commandment, the rest of them will not make sense to us. This is His commandment, that we believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that you and I have ever done or could ever do is to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. To come to a place where we say, Lord, I call upon You. I ask You to come into my life and save me. I thank God that back on April the 5th, 1972, as a young boy, God allowed me the privilege to pray and receive Christ as my Savior. And that day, I followed the Lord. And according to this verse in 1 John, I obeyed the first commandment of my life by accepting Christ as my Savior. And what a great day. The Bible says, fear God and keep His commandments. And when someone showed me from the Bible that I was a sinner without hope of heaven, boy, I'll tell you what, there was a fear or a conviction, if you will, that came into my heart, and I had a desire to obey that commandment, to receive the gospel of Jesus, and I did, and I was saved. And if you've never done that, if you're not sure that you're saved this morning and on your way to heaven, the first and greatest commandment for you is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust Him as your Savior and to let Jesus Christ come into your life today. Now, how can we get this new year off to a right start? First of all, remember our Creator. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. every day in the new year, focusing on God and remembering God, not saying, oh yeah, I got to do some church, I got to do some Bible reading, I haven't done it for several days, but remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Secondly, recognize our duty. What is our duty? Our duty is to put God in His proper place this morning, to reverence Him, to fear Him, to awe Him, if you will. And if we'll do that, we'll keep His commandments. Watch it. If we don't fear Him or awe Him, we will not keep His commandments. And so we need to put God in His proper place this morning. Then thirdly, we need to realize our appointment with God. We need to realize our appointment with God. Now notice what the Scripture says in verse 14. It says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Now, if we believe that we will see God at the end of this life, we will live 1999 with His purposes in mind. How many of you believe that if we would focus in on this truth, that I'm going to see God when this life is over, that it could make a difference in the way we live? Let's rephrase that a little bit. How many of you believe that if Jesus Christ was coming and we knew it, and we don't know the day nor the hour, my focus would be pretty clear, wouldn't yours, on the things of God if I knew that to be the case? Well, guess what? I do know that to be the case. Jesus Christ is coming soon, and I know that I will face Him someday. Now, let me help you with this. Notice what it says in verse 14. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Now, first of all, for those without Christ, there's going to be an appointment with God. Now, if you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not know that Christ is in your life, and you do not know that heaven is your home, I want to remind you this morning, you will face God someday. You'll face Him. Now, the Bible speaks of this in Revelation 20, and I believe we put that in your notes this morning, verse 11. Here the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." The great white throne judgment is a terrible, awesome thing to consider. The great white throne judgment is the place of judgment where all of those who have rejected Christ, all of those who have not received Christ, will stand before God. The Bible says there that the books will be opened. There will be a judgment or a manifestation of their works. And then there will be a sentencing, the Bible says. And the Bible says that many in that day will say, "Lord, Lord, well, we cast out devils in Your name. Lord, we went to church. And Lord, we know all about You." Some might say, "We had a bumper sticker with Jesus on it." There'll be a lot of reasoning going on in that day, in other words. In other words, even religious people, the Bible would indicate. But on that day, and some don't like to think of this, and so they just bypass these kinds of scriptures. But on that day, the Bible says that Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now, for me and for you to think about the great white throne judgment in those terms, I'm telling you, friend, that's a sobering thought. That's enough to make a soul winner out of any backslidden Baptist. For us to really come face to face with the fact that our loved ones will stand at the great white throne judgment, that's an awesome, sobering thought. And you see, for those without Christ, the great white throne judgment is a terrible, terrible thought. It's a place where people will stand and their works will be judged, and it will be proven by an almighty God that they were a sinner who never received Jesus Christ as Savior, and they will be sentenced for all of eternity. That's a tragic moment. But then there's also, for those with Christ, going to be a judgment. Now the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we," and the book of 2 Corinthians written to Christians, the church at Corinth, "for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, over here we have the great white throne judgment. And I'm trying to help. Ecclesiastes here is telling us about a day of judgment. So there are two specific, there are many judgments, but two major days of judgment the Bible speaks about. There's the great white throne judgment, and then there is the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says we're all going to appear there. Now, this judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment of our sin in the same sense of the great white throne judgment. In fact, thank God that on that day our sin will not be judged. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you and I are saved, our sins are forgiven, washed under the blood. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to have all of our sins up on some screen and everybody see it. Those sins are under the blood of Jesus. Amen. Well, what is judged at the judgment seat of Christ? And that which will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ is the works of the believer. For the good works, there will be a reward given to the child of God. For those times when there were bad works and we were doing things other than what we could have, should have been doing, there will be a loss of reward. And that's why in the new year, we need to go into this new year and say, Lord, I want this new year to be lived in such a way that there might be some crown that I would receive, some crown that would be given to me for living a righteous life, for being a witness, for being a testimony, that one day at the judgment seat of Christ, I'll not have lost rewards in 99, but I will have gained rewards, and that I might someday lay those rewards at the feet of Jesus Christ. That ought to be our goal in the new year. You see, we need to realize this morning, we have an appointment one day with God. Now, what we're trying to do this morning is put the new year in perspective. How can we, having this gift of a new year, how many of you realize that every day is a gift from God? See, there are a lot of people in this room who've been nigh unto death enough times to know that they're thankful for their lives they're living right now. Some who've had heart attacks and cancer in the last year. But to those that are young, how about remembering our Creator in the days of our youth, you see? How about realizing that the new year is an opportunity to remember Him, to acknowledge Him, and then secondly, to recognize our duty. What is the duty? Someone says, I don't like duty. Don't tell me what my duty is. All right, I won't tell you. I'll just read a verse to you. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In other words, God's saying to us, if you'll get me in my right perspective, if you'll have an awe for me, you'll treat your wife right. If you'll have an awe for me, God says, you'll treat your husband right. If you'll have an awe for me, things will be all right at church. If you'll have a respect for me, you'll read my Bible once in a while, you see. That's the whole duty of man. To put God in His place. I want to encourage you as you write out some goals and as you think about your new year, put God where He should be. And then not only should we remember our Creator and recognize our duty, but then we should realize this appointment with God. It's real. One day we'll see Him, as Fanny Crosby said. One day the silver cord will break, and then we'll see Him face to face. And friends, when we see the Lord Jesus and when we have lived for Him and reverenced Him to the best of our ability, let me say to you this morning, those of you that have some health trials, some single parents here this morning, some couples trying to be faithful for Christ, and all of you doing your best, no matter what the trials may be, when we see Christ, it will be worth it all.